This is Foothill Family Church with Mike Webb. Building strong, spirit-filled lives through God's Word.
Now, I can show you a situation, point to a situation in my life where the Holy Spirit was trying to guide me even before I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying being guided into the Word only belongs to those who are Spirit-filled. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, if you'll let the Holy Ghost guide you into the Word, the truth of the Word, when you're just born again, He'll guide you into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you into the truth of healing. He'll show you the things that belong to you. He'll teach you how to take hold of them. First thing I can remember the Holy Ghost guiding me into concerning the truth of the Word is He showed me something about the prayer of faith when I didn't even know there was such a thing. I had prayed for something the day before. And I'd asked God for it, and I just went to Him based on God being my Father. I said, "Now, Lord, you know, if I was your Father and you asked me to do this for you, I'd do it." I didn't go saying, "Your Word promises me this, that, and the other." I had no idea what the Word of God promised me. I just went based on a relationship with God. That's what He said prayer is supposed to be based on, by the way. Jesus said, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you." So I just went based on God being my Father. I said, "Now, Heavenly Father, if this was turned around and you came to me and asked me for this, I'd do it for you. So I'm just simply asking you to do it for me because I'm your child and you're my Father." And that was it. That was pretty much the end of my prayer. Next night, same time, I'd been taught as a Baptist boy growing up. You pray, you kneel down by your bed, you pray every night. You may not pray any other time of the day, but you better do it before you go to bed. That fit real well into this "now I lay me down to sleep" stuff I'd learned. Well, I wasn't praying that way anymore. I'd progressed a baby step beyond that, but still, nevertheless, it was pretty much the same ritual. So I knelt down by my bed before I went to sleep, and I said, "Now, Lord," I started to go through the same thing, same prayer. I almost prayed exactly the same prayer that I did the night before. And I started off, and I got partway through it, and I said, "Wait a minute. There's no point in me trying to talk you into this. You either heard me yesterday when I prayed, or you didn't. Now, I'm being guided by the Holy Ghost." I had no idea that's what it was, but I'm being guided by the Holy Ghost. I wasn't this smart. I didn't have enough knowledge of the Word to operate this way according to knowledge. But I just simply said, "Lord, you either heard me yesterday or you didn't. If you didn't hear me, then if you didn't hear me yesterday when I asked you, there's no reason to think you're going to hear me today. So instead of asking you for it, I'm just going to say, thanks for hearing me." And that was it. Now, whether you know it or not, I'm being led unconsciously by the Holy Spirit. I'm being led without knowledge of how these things work. The Holy Spirit is guiding me into all truth. Folks, it's like Smith Wigglesworth says, if you pray seven times for any one thing, talking about the prayer of faith, you've prayed six times in unbelief. I didn't know anything like that. I'd never heard of Smith Wigglesworth. I'd never heard of anybody that knew anything about these things. But it's the first thing. By the way, I got the answer to my prayer. A couple of weeks later, the answer to my prayer came. And that's the same thing I do every night. I just kneel down beside my bed and I say, "Okay, Lord, you heard me when I prayed last week, yesterday, 2 days ago, 4 days ago, whatever it was. You heard me. So thanks for hearing me." That's all I knew. That's all I was impressed. I had no idea it was the impression of the Holy Ghost. I had no idea it was the leading of the Spirit of God. Didn't know the Holy Spirit even led you. But it led me. He led me unconsciously. I hate to use the word unconsciously, but you know what I mean by that? He led me without my own knowledge of what was going on into the answered prayer that I sought. Now, that was before I was filled with the Holy Spirit. What's He doing? He's guiding you into all truth. I heard Brother Hagin say something similar to this. He said that he spent 16 months on the bed of affliction, 16 months paralyzed. He said, "If I had learned to listen, if I had known to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit," he said, "I could have been off that sick bed long before that 16 months." See, people have this idea that God has an appointed time for things. No, God's appointed time is when you take hold. God wants you to take hold of salvation today. Now is the accepted time. Well, why didn't everybody get saved today? Because they don't take hold. When is the accepted time or the appointed time as far as God's concerned? When Jesus died on the cross. From that point, it's available to anybody and everybody that wants it. Anybody and everybody that's able or willing to receive it. So Brother Hagin said he didn't have to spend 16 months on that sick bed. If he had learned to listen, if he had known to listen to to the leading of the Holy Ghost. It took him 16 months to learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit that was speaking to him on the inside, showing him how to receive his healing. He didn't have anybody to teach him. He didn't have any tapes to listen to. He didn't have some of the advantages that we have today. Folks, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the Word will guide you into all truth. He'll guide you into the Word. Now, what else to think about what that means on the other side. Where is He not going to lead you? He's not going to lead you into things apart from His Word. What does that mean, that He's not going to lead us in the affairs of life, Pastor Mike? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means He's going to lead you in the affairs of life in agreement with God's Word. But He's not going to lead you out into all kinds of different things. And the first and foremost way He's going to lead you, the way He's going to start teaching you, is showing you how to apply the Word to your life. I hear people say all the time, frequently, I'll have people say, well, the Holy Ghost said this. And I'm thinking, well, that can't be true because the Word says this. And what the Word says completely contradicts what they're saying the Holy Spirit told them. That's why the Bible says you can judge prophecies. That's why the Bible says you can judge things that people claim is God telling them. Why? Because the Spirit of God will never contradict the Word of God. Never. It's impossible for God to contradict His Word. Impossible. But it's absolutely critical that you understand that the Word of God is the baseline for where the Holy Ghost will teach you. If you need to know something, ask Him. Holy Spirit, teach me. I need to know. I'm having trouble receiving my healing. Holy Spirit, guide me. Show me how to receive my healing. That's what He's there for. That's exactly what He's there for. But so often people just go through life and they think, well, whatever God wants to happen, that's just whatever will be. Jesus loves me, que sera, sera. That should be the theme song of the church. It's que sera, sera. Whatsoever will be, will be. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. If you're watching on our Sunday morning broadcast, you'll be aware that we've started the Sovereignty of God series here over the last couple of weeks. Well, I'm starting to get some correspondence on that series. So far, every bit of it has been people wanting to argue with me about God being in control of everything, and their whole basis is to set a point of justification for why God brings tragedy into people's lives. I am amazed at how many people want to fight for God being able to destroy them. It's sad. I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. I remember being there. But you know why I'm not there anymore? Because the Holy Spirit has guided me into the truth of the Word. He's guided me into the truth of the Word. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I cannot overemphasize this. Folks, I need to apologize for last Sunday morning's sermon. It was like I was on drugs. I'm thinking one thing and I can't seem to get there. I felt like I was all over the world. Things have changed for me. I turned 55 in November. This is, what is this, end of January. Just about 2 months ago, things changed for me. Because when I turned 55, I got something different from God. I got something extra from the Lord from what I had before. Now, twice in the 2 months since I turned 55, I have absolutely, completely lost the anointing. And that's never happened to me before teaching and in being in a service. There have been times where I started off and never had it, but I'm talking about losing it, okay? And I've come to understand, it's happened twice now in 2 months, and I've come to understand that if I try to hurry, that's not okay anymore. It used to be I could hurry through something, that's fine, I'd just back up and cover it next time and that kind of stuff. Now I'm finding if I hurry, if I try to go too fast, I lose track. Something about the Holy Ghost helping me changes. I don't have His help anymore. Now, the only way I can put that in context is like this. You remember in the Old Testament, God gave Israel the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. They knew when to move. They moved when the cloud moved. It's hard to be led by God if you run out ahead of Him. God's plan for leading you is Him out front, you in back. If I hurry, I get out front. And that doesn't work anymore. It's kind of scary. Because that means I'm going to have to slow down. Those of you that remember me from my Alabama beginning days, I'm going to start talking a little bit slower. But I'm very conscious that that's what it is. The Holy Spirit showed that to me very, very specifically. I came out of the service last Sunday morning, and I've learned you can't go by what people say. I'll have people say, "Oh, Pastor Mike, that was the best thing I ever heard." And I thought, okay. Because I know when God left. But the Holy Spirit showed me what it is. He reminded me of both of these times. I'm going to have to slow down. I'm going to have to go slow enough to where the Lord can draw from my heart the things that I want to say. I can't tell you how many times I come out of a service in times past. I've come out of services and I think, oh, I wish I'd said this. I meant to say that. Well, the only reason I didn't is because I was going too fast to listen to my heart and pick up those details. Now, the only reason that God wants me to slow down, He doesn't care about it for me. He cares about it for you. He wants you to be able to get it. And I think I'm right on this. You may be the judge of this, but I think I'm right on this. If I'm going too fast for you to really get the point and then move on, then it's not going to be able to soak in. And God wants it to soak in. It doesn't do you any good unless it soaks in. And the reason for that is exactly what we're talking about. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. If I'm speaking the word of God, those are spirit words that are necessary to soak into your spirit to do you any good. How much help does it do for you if I know the Bible? It's not going to help you a bit. But if I can deliver it in such a way so that you can take hold of it for yourself, now you're helped. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'll remind you while you're turning there. Of a couple of different things. One is in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Starting to do it again. I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 4. The writer of the book of Hebrews is inspired by the Holy Ghost. So I prefer to say this. The Holy Spirit said to us through the book of Hebrews. Because the Bible is God speaking to you and to me. You need to take it as a personal letter. That's when it makes the most impact on you. At least it did to me. Hebrews chapter 4. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful." Another translation says, and these are the literal meanings of the word, "full of life and power." The word of God is full of life and power. Now folks, if that's true, since that's true, it's not really an if for me, it's since that's true, doesn't it make sense that the Holy Spirit will guide you into the truth, the word, which is full of life and power? To what end? Because God wants you to be full of the Word, full of life, full of power. That's why He's going to lead you into the Word. If you're praying for direction about something to do, look for the direction from the Word. Instead of, "God, show me where to move," "God, reveal your Word for me, to me. Show me in the Word what I should do." I'm convinced that a lot of people don't get their answers because they're looking for circumstantial evidence. They're looking to the circumstances instead of looking to the truth of the Word. I've had God speak to me out of the most obscure scriptures, stuff that I'm reading not for information's sake per se, but just it's part of a reading that I come across. And I'll have God speak something to me that will relate to something that I'm going through at that point in time. I used to be amazed. When I started studying the Word, really started getting into the Word, one of the first things I came across was John Osteen's Bible, Reading Through the Bible program. And it's been a long time since I did it, but if I remember it correctly, it's 5 chapters in the Old Testament, 5 Psalms, 1 Proverb, 1 chapter in Proverb, and 3 chapters in the New Testament. That'll take you through the Old Testament once a year. It'll take you through Psalms and Proverbs once a month, and it'll, is that right? Five? Yeah, once a month. And then it'll take you through the New Testament three times a year. Well, I did that for about, well, I don't know, 4 or 5 years straight. And I'd be reading in the Old Testament. I'd get in Leviticus. You know, the laws of cleanliness and purity and all that kind of stuff. And I was amazed how that God would speak something to me. God would show me something out of scriptures that you wouldn't think had any bearing or relevance to today. He would speak something to me that would have a bearing on something that I was engaged in, something that I was involved in, something that I was facing at that current time. And it used to happen day after day after day. It was one of the things that kept me going with that Bible reading program. Because I got looking forward to it. Oh, wow, what is God going to show me out of Deuteronomy today? Or out of, you know, out of some scripture that shouldn't have anything to do with my current life? What's He going to show me? God will take the Word of God and show you, give you instruction, give you direction on the things that you're facing now, presently. He can do it from any scripture. And the reason that He can is because the Word of God is spirit and life. You'll see college professors that have devoted their life to the study of Moby Dick or, you know, War and Peace or something like that. And they break it apart, English literature, they break it apart according to themes and stuff like that. Aren't those people a joy to be around? They're just full of helpful knowledge and information, just bundles of life and joy. Folks, there is no other book on the planet that's full of life and power like the Word of God is. You can devote yourself to anything that you want to, but if you want to wind up with the results of life and power, this is it. The Word of God is full of life and power, and is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit. In other words, separating soul and spirit. One of the most frequent questions I get as a pastor is, Pastor Mike, I can't tell. I want to talk to you. I want to have a counseling session with you. I can't tell if something is me or if it's God. In other words, they're saying I can't divide between soul and spirit. Is this something that I just want, or is this something God is leading me to do? People that want to bounce ideas off me, the reason they want to bounce ideas off me is because they're trying to divide between soul and spirit. If Jesus appeared to them and said, this is my idea, they wouldn't want to talk to me. If they knew that it was God's idea and not just theirs, something that they're coming up with, they wouldn't want to talk to me. What's to talk to me about? Unless they want to brag because Jesus appeared, what's to talk to me about? Do you see the point? But so often, the question that people have is this me or is it God? They may not phrase it that way, but that's what it comes down to. Is this me or is this God? The Word is the only thing that divides between soul and spirit. It's the only thing that can identify, is it you and just an idea that you're coming up with, or is it something that's inspired by the Holy Ghost? And notice it's the Word that does that, and only the Word can. I can't divide between soul and spirit for you. I may be reminded, as you tell me what's going on, I may be reminded of something the Bible says, but it's still the Bible that does the work. Still the Word of God that does the work. So what's it talking about? It's talking about the Word of God divides between soul and spirit. It talks about the Word of God dividing between the seen and the unseen, the joints and the marrow, piercing asunder even to the dividing, piercing even to the dividing asunder of joints and marrow. What does that mean? Well, if you take the skin off the body, you can see the joints, but you can't see what's in the joints, can you? In other words, the life of the joints, the life of the bone, is the marrow. He's talking about the seen versus the unseen. The Word of God is the only thing that can divide between those two. Now, folks, you don't have any trouble discerning what the seen is, but sometimes it's tough to discern the unseen, isn't it? Sometimes it's tough to remind yourself of what the unseen is in this situation. What will do that for you? There's only one thing, and that's the Word of God. Finally, it says it divides the third thing, and that is the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He's back to soul and spirit again. It's only the Word that can divide between your thoughts, the actions of your soul, and your intents or your motivations for why you want to do something. I can show you a lot of people that want to prosper according to the Word, but I can show you that most of them want to prosper because they want something. I can show you a lot of preachers that want to have multitudes of people saved, but I can show you a lot of them, their motivation behind that is because they want to be seen as a great preacher. See, God will deal with you about motivations as much as He will the what. The desires that you have. Why do you want what you want? God cares more about the why you want it than the what you want. The Word of God is the only thing that can do that. That's one of the greatest things I got from being around Brother Hagin, because one of his trademark scriptures was, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It doesn't say, except the Lord build the house, they can't get it built. A lot of people are building their own house. Spiritually. Naturally. In their own lives. They're doing their own thing. But unless their motivation is the influence of the Lord or the help of the Lord to get it done, it won't produce any good. You can do it. Folks, it's not a mystery of how to build a big church. You got seminars that'll tell you how to do that. It's no mystery about how to make a name for yourself in ministry. There's no mystery about how to get the word out about who you are and here's why you people want to come to you. But where's the word in any of that? Where's the fruit? Where's the lasting fruit? Jesus saw the result of having big crowds. As soon as He gave them the word, they left. As soon as He gave them things that they weren't comfortable with hearing, like, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, they took off. And that's exactly where a lot of churches are. They'll stay big as long as they don't get too personal with folks. They'll stay big as long as they don't talk about too much in the area of personal commitment. Or your responsibility where the things of God are concerned. Well, what good is that? And we have some kind of fake life that we're living and we say it's for God? Now, I'm not criticizing. If that's what somebody wants to do, if that's what somebody feels like they're supposed to do, that's okay with me. I'm not their judge. But that's not what I'm supposed to do. That's not even close to what I'm supposed to do. Not even close. So it's the Word of God that's full of life and power. It's the only thing that can divide between the outside you and the real you on the inside. It stands to reason then, since God lives in the real you on the inside, that unless you fill yourself with this Word, unless you equip yourself with the Word, which is spirit and life, it's the only thing that's said in this world to feed your spirit, unless you do that and become more conscious of the man on the inside of you, you're going to be stumbling around through life wondering what the will of God is for you. Which is where most of the church world lives. Finally, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We'll close with this. Romans chapter 12. Who's Paul writing to? Saved or unsaved? He's writing to Christians. Is he writing to what we would call fundamentalist Christians, or is he writing to Spirit-filled Christians? Spirit-filled Christians. We know because he speaks to them about being filled with the Spirit. He speaks to them about what they have. He speaks to them about the manifestations of the Holy Ghost and the endowments that the Holy Spirit has set in the church to equip us. They've got to be Spirit-filled. Notice what he says to Spirit-filled Christians. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Now the therefore is chapters 9 through 11. He's telling us about Israel. He's telling us, here's why Israel missed it, and here's why we need to pray for Israel and care about them and so on and so forth, because they are trusting in their own works and so forth. Then he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Notice you're supposed to do something. God won't do it for you. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Most translations, instead of saying reasonable service, translate this spiritual worship. Remember Jesus said in John chapter 4, talking to the woman at the well of Samaria, He said, except you worship God in spirit and truth, you can't really know Him. And God is seeking such to worship Him. What is spiritual worship? Charismatics are real good about it. They'll come up with this. Well, that means we need to sing in tongues. Folks, singing in tongues is a wonderful thing. But spiritual worship is not singing in tongues. Spiritual worship is about making your body, presenting your body a living sacrifice. In other words, letting the power of the Holy Spirit dominate your physical behavior. I'm shocked that I didn't get a room full of amens on that. That's just our favorite subject, isn't it? He's telling Spirit-filled Christians, do something about your bodies. Verse 2, and Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. The word prove means to determine by experience. That you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Folks, God doesn't have three wills. He doesn't have a good will and then an acceptable will, but then He's got a perfect will. No, God has one will, and that's perfect for your life. Now, some people weave in and out of it. God still loves them because they're His children. But God has one will for you, and it's good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. How do you experience the will of God in your life? By doing something about your mind. He says we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. How? If we know, let's put some of the things together that we've talked about. If the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth, that means the Spirit of the Word will guide us into the Word. We see the reason for that is because the Word of God is Spirit and life. It's full of life and power. If the work of the Holy Ghost is to guide you into the Word of God, what result will that bring in you? It'll transform you because it'll change your mind. It'll change. When I say change your mind, I don't mean change your opinion about something. I mean change your way of thinking. I went to bed the other night real late. I had been watching something, and so, I don't know, it was 2:30, 2:45, something like that. So I went upstairs and I'd been praying all day long. Hadn't stopped to take time to pray, you know, not prayer time per se, but just been praying all day long. And even watching the movie that I was watching beforehand, I was praying kind of under my breath in tongues and had been for, I don't know, if you added up all the time throughout the day, it'd probably be 6-7 hours, between 6 and 7 hours, maybe something like that, that I've been praying in other tongues. Now, like I said, I didn't have something specific to pray about. I didn't know what I was praying about. It wasn't like I had a burden, and so I needed to shut myself away and just sit down and bear down and pray or something like that. But I was just praying all day. And so here it is, 2:30, 2:45 in the morning, something like that. Got up, went to bed, laid down in bed, and was thinking about this Sunday morning service. Now, the only thing I had for this Sunday morning service is John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so I was meditating on John 6:63, maybe 2 minutes. And all of a sudden, the words came out of my mouth, the transforming power of the Word. Now, I'm not thinking Romans 12:2. But the words came out of my mouth. Well, I say out of my mouth. I didn't say them out loud, so that's not the right way to say it. But the words came from my spirit to my mind. That'd be a better way to say it. The words came up from my spirit to my mind, the transforming power of the Word. And so I thought for a minute, and I thought, you know, Lord, I've been transformed by Your Word. And then Romans 12:2 popped into my mind. And I thought, well, that's exactly right. And now, folks, this may seem simple to you. You may think it was just 2:45 in the morning, and I'm just, you know, flaky. I don't know. But I saw something, and something became real. You know, the Bible says the entrance of God's Word gives light. You ever been reading another book? You ever been reading a history book or something like this, something like that, and all of a sudden the entrance of the words that you were reading gave light to you? No. Doesn't happen with other books. You may understand what they're talking about, but it's not revelation. It's not light. It's not something that comes alive on the inside of you. It's like, whoa, yeah. But you've had that happen in the Bible, haven't you? You've had words stand up off the page in the Bible, haven't you? I used to be afraid to tell people that happened to me. And I heard somebody say that, and I thought, okay, good. It happens to other people too then. We've had experiences like that. Why? Because the Word of God is spirit and life. You're not going to find that in a history book. You're not going to have words stand up on the page in War and Peace. It just doesn't happen in other writings. Why? Because this is inspired by the Holy Ghost. Others are not. Even Christian books, they may have contained good material, but they're not going to be spirit and life in the same way that the Word of God is itself. So that phrase, the transforming power of the Word. And I remember Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, folks, I don't mean to say this to make you think I think I'm something. I've got so far to go in so many ways, I don't even want you to know. But you look at me from where I started 32 years ago, when I started putting the Word of God on the inside of me. You look at where I was then compared to where I am now, I am a totally different person. I think differently. I act differently. I react differently. My confidence is in totally different, a totally opposite place than it was before. And I never had really stopped to consider it. Now, 32 years sounds like a long time to me. That's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket to eternity. But I've been transformed by the Word. I've been absolutely transformed by the Word. I don't have any doubt that you can say the same thing at whatever point in time you want to start looking at. The Word is a transforming agent. There should be no question in our minds whatsoever how that when Jesus spoke, disease disappeared. Because the Word of God is a transforming power. It's a transforming power. It transforms you as you meditate on it. It transforms you as you put it in practice in your life. But don't make any mistake about this, folks. The Word of God, spoken in the most immature Christian, the Word of God is full of life and power. And it's the only thing that is. It's the only thing that is. I was in a place of business, several months ago. I'm not sure exactly how long ago it was. And somebody recognized me and said, hey, you're the priest on TV, aren't you? TV has opened up a whole new world to me, folks, let me tell you. You're the priest on TV. And I said, well, I'm a pastor of a church. Is that what you mean? She said, yeah, that's what I mean. She said, I've been watching you for several months. She said, I'm Muslim. Okay. She said, I'm Muslim. She said, I like you. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. She said, the reason I like you is because you don't try to change me. I said, ma'am, I have no interest whatsoever in changing you. I said, but I will tell you this. You keep watching, and the words that we preach will change you. So be warned. Just laughed, you know. So she just took it as a big joke. Now, I'm going to see that person again somewhere down the road, and she's going to say, you're right, that word changed me. Wasn't you. I'm not telling her anything except what the Bible says. But folks, the Word is a transforming agent. It's full of life and power. Whatever problem you have in life, there is Scripture that will transform you to bring you into victory. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care how long it's been there. I don't care how critical the doctor says it is. There is a Scripture, or there are Scriptures, that will transform that area of your life. Guaranteed. All you got to do is find it. All you got to do is accept it.
Jesus died for us to have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. He lives in us through salvation, but God also wants to abide in us in power by being filled with the Holy Spirit. That power will work in our individual lives, and it will also work in the local church. Come join us at Foothill Family Church.
This is Foothill Family Church with Mike Webb.
My mother called up and said, you have to turn on the TV. You have to watch this man. Suddenly, we're watching it every Sunday. It started the whole, well, maybe we should go to church. She's going to get out of our pajamas on Sunday morning, and we're going to go to church. And you were kind of shocked by how much more there was when it wasn't just the half an hour, but, you know, his full message. I'm going to have to start taking more serious notes, you know, because I wanted to bring home as much as I could and keep it through the week. It wasn't just a Sunday morning thing anymore.
Join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Visit us online at mikeweb.tv. Foothill Family Church, building strong, Spirit-filled lives through God's Word.